We say praise the Lord, we thank him, say we give honor to our God who is our life. We thank him for being in the house one more time, just for his goodness, his mercy, his grace, his kindness to us. We thank the Lord just for everything he does, for everything that we believe, that we know that he's going to do, just for us, just through his word. It's good to see the mind in the house just on today. We thank the Lord just for the mind that we have just to be saved. Just remembering just all the prayer requests, remembering those saints in their absence. We thank the Lord just for giving us the opportunity just to call upon his name, to hear the reading of the scriptures, and also to hear his word. We're going to go straight to the word just on today. And if we can go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. We serve a God that truly answers prayers. And as Stephen said, hey, we have so much to pray for. We have so many people to pray for. But especially when we're praying for the Lord to save, we do understand that the Lord hears our prayers, hears our cry. But we still also understand that those that we're praying for, that they have to make a decision. They have to make a choice, and you pray and say, God save. It's in your mind, you're saying, God, we know you're going to save if the sinner responds in faith to the word. And if they don't respond, then they will not be saved. You know, just this week, just thinking about, children, and we always lead in prayer, just wanting, the saints and each other. We pray for our children, and the scriptures, they teach us to train our child in the way that they should go. And we believe that, and we trust that, and we understand, and we know as saints, that the way that they should go is Christ. And sometimes you enter into conversations with people who don't have the Holy Ghost, who aren't saved, who don't have a mind toward God, and talk about children. My wife and I, we were kind of chatting a little bit this past weekend. The world will look at sometimes saints who train up their children in the way that they should go as bondage. And then those same children, when they come of age and they leave your home and not saved, do sinful things, and the world, they'll try to flip it. And the world will try to say it's because you sheltered them. You didn't let them do anything. Well, the devil is a lie. When we think about God's way, when we think about God and Israel, God was very tight with his children. God wanted the children of Israel to serve him. He didn't want mix and match. He didn't want them serving other gods. And God was very careful because he knew that if you start mixing and matching, start intertwining, then you're going to pick up their ways. You're going to start serving their gods, and they're going to start persuading you and convincing you. God knew that. And God still knows that now. But when we look at God's will for families, just for humans, it's just to be saved. So when you have a family, especially when you have a husband and wife that's saved, through the grace of God, they come together and bring forth children. God's will is also for those children to be saved. And when we go through scriptures, even in the Old Testament, I mean, we just see the instruction for Israel to, you know, talk about, to share what they knew about God's way, even to their children. And so God's will for all people, that people will repent and be saved. But when you look at the spiritual family, you know, husband and wife, saints, that have the Holy Ghost, but we train up our child in God's plan. It's God's will, it's God's desire, it's our desire that they would be saved. And the thing that you understand is that if they don't get saved, that's their choice. If they choose hell, that's their choice. We can't force even our children to be saved. It'd be nice if we could, but we can't force anybody to be saved. It's all choice. And we understand, because the flesh, That sinful nature that wants to sin, that wants to get out there and do. We understand the devil. I understand that when a child who's raised in a Christian home, and as they go through the years of being in that home, and they decide not to say when they leave, I know flesh. I know the devil. Because the Lord has taught us. I know what the flesh is going to want to do. We've been there. We've done it. We've lived it. We've experienced it. So we understand in that saying what's going to happen. But it doesn't mean that when they leave and they choose not God, it doesn't mean that we did anything wrong. It doesn't mean that we failed. We trained them up. But still, salvation is a choice. But the world will say, and these are the people who profess to go to church. And if you say, they'll say, you shouldn't have sheltered them. You shouldn't let them experience a little bit. Experience what? See it? So you mean to tell me that as a Christian family that I should have allowed my children to sin? That was a lie. Think about that. And even some of us, if we were, you know, saved and still with our parents, because she saved. And if she continues in this salvation, there's certain things that she'll never have to worry about. As long as she continues to do the will of God. She doesn't have to experience anything. She doesn't have to get caught up in anything. Because God is with her. And God will keep her. And God will give her everything that she needs. That even when she leaves the house, that she can make good decisions. That she can see things the way that God wants her to see it. And she'll be protected from a lot of things that others without God won't be protected from. So the key thing is, and we understand it as parents, that when our children are in our care, we
we understand the importance and the urgency for them to be saved. Because we know when they leave without God, the devil's just licking his chops. He's just waiting. But just because they leave and choose not God, just because they leave, it seems like for sin wax worse and worse. You still did your job. And trained them up in the way that they should go. Those conversations you don't mind having with them. Because you know that they have no truth to say to them. Because their mindset is simply, you should let them be free. Let them do. Not so. God didn't do it for his people. That's not God's way. We train them up. We're hoping our prayer that they'll come to realization before it's too late that they need to be saved. But the thing about the devil, he don't care about nobody. And the thing that you see about sin, when it comes to people, when you see that thing start waxing worse and worse, better be careful. Because the end is true. The end is real. But whatever comes, whatever it may be, we believe and trust that the Lord will always take real good care of us. Deuteronomy chapter 31. I'm going to start with verse 1. Just read it for a little bit. Let the word just help us. Like we said before, just let the word do the work. It helps us. It teaches us. It enlightens us. It shows us. Leads us and guides us. It is a lamp to us, shows us the right way to walk, the right way to go. So Deuteronomy 31, verse 1, and it reads, "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel." He spake these words, Moses did. It says, unto all Israel. "And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day." So I'm 120. "I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan." So Moses, he's speaking, the scripture says, unto all Israel. He's letting them know how old he is. And that he can't go no more out and in. I can't do it. He says, "Also the Lord, he said to me, he told me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan." So this Jordan, Moses, you are not going over. "The Lord thy God," Moses said to the people, "he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said." So if we were Israel, listening to Moses, we would have understood, especially in verse 3, that God, he's going over before us. So he's going before us. And he's going to destroy, the scripture says, these nations.
So I just believe that if we were a part of Israel at this time, we would have believed the man of God. I'm believing Moses, what you're saying. I'm believing that you're 120. I'm believing that you can't go out and come in. I believe that God said to you, spoke to you, that you aren't going over. You aren't crossing Jordan. But still, Moses, you're telling us that God's going to go over before us. And he's going to destroy these nations from before us. And we are going to possess them. He says, and Joshua. So Moses, not me, but Joshua. He shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon, to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. So Israel should have had some confidence and should have felt good about what God is going to go and do before them. He's going to destroy them. He's going to do unto them as he did unto Sihon, to Og, to the kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord, Moses says to Israel, shall give them up before your face. It says that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. So God, he was going to give them up before them. And there was a reason. He says that ye may do unto them. It says according unto all the commandments. So there were some commandments that Moses gave unto them from God that pertained to these people. And God was going to give them up so that Israel could do the things that he commanded them to do. So making it very easy for them to do the things that he wanted done. Verse 6, it says, be strong, Moses is telling the people, and of a good courage. It says, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. If Israel, as they're hearing Moses, just believe what Moses said, we have nothing to worry about. God's going to help us. He's going to bless us. He's going to give them up for us so that we can do the things that he's commanded us to do. He's going to be with us. He's not going to fail us. He's not going to forsake us. When you think about Israel, God was giving them every opportunity just to believe in me. So through this dialogue, through this conversation that Moses is having with all of Israel, Israel, if they just believe, getting understanding of what God is going to do for them. And all they had to do was just believe. Just trust. Just have some courage. Don't fear. And I just believe if we were there, we would have all the faith in God. That God, you going to do it. That when we cross this Jordan, everything that you gave unto us on the other side of Jordan is going to happen. No need to worry. No need to fear. God is not going to fail us. Neither will he forsake us. Verse 7 says, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, it says, in the sight of all Israel. So Moses, he's speaking to all Israel. So now he calls Joshua. Once again, he has something to say to Joshua in the sight of all Israel. So all Israel saw it. So all Israel saw Moses speaking to them, but now Moses is calling for Joshua. And now he has something to say to Joshua in the sight of all the people. He says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." So the people, they're getting clear understanding that Moses, he ain't taking us, but it's Joshua. And Moses is telling Joshua to be strong, be of good courage, because you're going to cause this people, Israel, to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. God, through Moses, he's comforting his people. He's preparing his people. He's establishing faith towards him in his people. And it's all taking place through the word that Moses gave unto them. Verse 9 says, "And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark, which carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel." So the elders and the priests, Moses, he wrote this law and he delivered it unto them. Verse 10 says, "And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles," Moses said, "when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose," he says, "thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing." So Moses, God was very wise. God gave Moses instructions. Moses is commanding the elders and the priests, says, at the end of every 7 years in the solemnity of the year of release in the Feast of Tabernacles, he says, "when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law." So Moses commanded the priests and the elders to read this law. But he wanted them to read it when they all were going to appear before the Lord. He says, "thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing." This word hearing, in their ears. Moses, God wanted his people to hear this law, to hear this word. Verse 12, Moses says, "Gather the people together, men and women and children." He says, "and thy stranger that is within thy gates." So bring everybody. He says, "that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law." I always like scriptures like this because you see the importance, and we understand the importance, but you see the importance of hearing God's word. Moses commanded them, read this law when they're all coming to present themselves before the Lord. What a great opportunity. What a convenient time for the law to be read when everybody's present. And why is that important? Because when everybody's present and when everybody's hearing it, everybody is getting the same word out. Everyone is having a chance to hear. Everyone is having a chance to learn. Everyone is having a chance to fear. And the whole purpose is so that we can do all the things that God is commanding us to do. But the elders and priests, they just didn't get the charge just to read it, but you have to gather them. Moses told the elders and priests, you gather them. And the reason that you gather them, the reason that you call the meeting, is so that you can read the law in their hearing. Once again, he said, gather the people together. He said, the men, the women, the children, strangers, or if there's any foreigners, any guests, bring them. But there's a reason. He said that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe. Says to do all the words of this law. God's word. It's impactful. But you see it even back in Israel's day. You had to get it. You had to hear it. You had to learn it. Could you imagine if when Moses spoke to Israel and they're making preparation and they know that they have to cross Jordan, if they didn't get the word that God was going to be with them, if they didn't get the word that God wasn't going to forsake them, if they didn't get the word that God wasn't going to fail them, then they would have had opportunity to fear. They would have had opportunity to not have courage because they didn't hear what Moses said. The whole purpose of Moses saying all those things is so they can have all the faith, all the trust, all the confidence in God. But God, Moses, wanted this word to be spoken when all the people were going to be present. Because God wanted his people to hear. He wanted them to learn and observe to do all that he said. We understand the purpose of the word. It's for us to hear, for us to learn. And through that, we begin to fear him more and more. And not scared. But God, I reverence you. It just wasn't for the men. It just wasn't for the women. But it was even for the children. Because if we don't get the word, there's no change. The word, that's our chance. That's our opportunity to increase our understanding and to be everything that God wants us to be. If we go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Start with verse 18. Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. And Jesus said, put me in the scripture. It says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. It says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and in him with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Verse 22 says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Verse 22, once again it says, he also that received seed, and seed, this parable, is the word of God. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. So you have people that hears the word. It says, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. You got people that hear the word. But these people, the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, it chokes the word. It chokes it. It didn't say it choked the hearer. It's choking the word. It's strangling the word that they heard. And then as a result, he becometh unfruitful. When you look at this, sometimes you may ask yourself the question. In fact, this is just in conversation about this question. A man can hear God's word. The seed was deposited, but there's no fruit. There's nothing that's coming about. Sometimes people, they have to look within themselves. Because the seed was scattered. The seed was sown. But why isn't it coming forth? Scripture says, the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Then the hearer, he becomes unfruitful. So there's something that's in him that's causing him to become unfruitful. The seed was sown. The seed was scattered. But we see that there were some things that was attacking the world, that was choking the world. And as a result, it didn't bring forth anything. That's why, as saints, we want to be everything. We never want to be in a place where the word is coming, the seed is dropping, and I don't bring forth. I don't produce. But it happens. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with the seed of God. It's perfect. It's pure. It's bright. It's healed. The issue will always be, it will always be with the person. It's not God. His word works. His word, it works. It's working in us. But we have to believe. It will work. Watch. And them that believe, his word, his truth, is everything. But even back in Moses' day, God knew what he was doing, working with Moses to speak to his people. God wanted his people to feel a certain way about him. God wanted his people to think a certain way about him. But I believe with all my heart, I know it for myself. If I was in Israel, and I didn't get that truth that God was always going to be with me, yes, I would be nervous. Yes, I would be dismayed. Yes, I would fear. But because of the truth of God, we'll be okay. His word, it transforms us. His word, it's what produced the faith in us to reach out, to call upon him for salvation. It was his word that showed us that I got one life to live, and I better make it count. It was his word that showed us that the wages of sin, my sin, the pay that I was going to receive for my sin is death. The word showed me that if I don't get delivered, if I don't get saved from my sin, I will go to hell. That came from the word. But what also came from the word, whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. What also came from the word is that whosoever believes, as scripture says, out of his belly, from the same word, the scripture showed us, repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission from the pardoning, forgiveness of your sins. When we heard that, we was convinced, we were persuaded that this is the God, this is the life for me. We only have one chance at this. One chance to be saved. When I say chance, just one life to be saved and to be everything that God is calling for. And there's nothing. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, of wealth, possessions, is so deceitful. People can get so caught up in wealth and money, and you will completely miss God. But through the word, we realize the most important thing in our life is not our careers. It's not money. It's not wealth. It's not possessions. It's not our jobs. But it's God. God first. And everything else has to fit around that. Yes, I'll tell people, putting God first, with your finances, you gotta be patient. Everything might not happen quick. If we didn't put God first, if we put God on the shelf and just focused on money, if God allowed, we could probably have a bit more than what we have now. But God, He's first. He's first, and everything else works around Him. It's not about riches. It's not about wealth. It's Him. You might have certain interests, but your interest starts to bow down itself to God's interests. God is all about you. Well, I want my life to be this way. I want my life to be that way. God, it's all about you. And how my life works itself out while I keep you first is good enough for me. But I'm not going to put my priorities over yours. God, your priority for me is to be saved. Your priority for me is to change. I'm not putting my priorities. So what I want to do? What does God want me to do? And then when you realize that through the word, then what you quickly begin to see is that now your priorities, now the same priorities as God. And it all comes through the word. He's everything to us. And He has to remain everything to us. Nothing can take His place. No one can take His place. The deceitfulness of riches is true. It'll take you out. It'll cause you really to miss God. It's all about Him. This service is all about Him. And we thank Him so much just for His word, for His truth. Because through the word, we get understanding about our God. And He's still a merciful God. He's still a great God. And there's still time. As long as you got breath in your body, you have space to put yourself in a position that when you take your last breath on this earth, you can wake up on the other side with the Lord. A man might ask, well, how do I do that? Well, there's a way. But you got to believe. You got to repent. And repent. Yes, I'm sorry for my sin. But there's a reversal. There's a mind change. about sin. There's a desire to be water baptized in Jesus' name for the remission, the pardon of my sins. There's a desire to receive the Holy Ghost with a repentant heart, not with a heart that still wants to sin, but with the heart that has turned from its ways. The devil, he moves quick. The devil, he pounces quick because he's looking. He's looking to destroy. Is there anybody through hearing God's word that just wants to make a decision? God, I want to change. I want to be saved. Is there anybody that wants to be born again? If not, God, he helps. He helps. He encourages. He strengthens. Because through the word, you can see danger is over. But God, he lets you know, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to sustain you. He's that kind of God. We thank him so much for everything just that he does. Just for his word. Just for his way. Just for knowing all the things that God can do for us individually when we hear the word of God. It changes our mind. It changes our heart. We just thank you this morning. It'll be good to us. Just continue to pray for each other, for our families, for some of the saints that are not here. I don't want to be a broken record, but once again, we have so much. We have so much to pray for. Not just in our own families, not just in our own lives, but people that we love. Each other. Family. Co-workers. I mean, we have so much to pray for. We know that our God, he's a God that answers prayers. We thank you for the word. We thank you for his life. We thank you for everything we believe that he's going to do for us. And for us, we say thank you for your attendance.